My next two, this the last two sermons, this one and the one before, are designed to prep you for our Wednesday night Thanksgiving service. I would like to see the people in our church be the ones who carry that service and be talking about what you're thankful for, what God is doing in your life. With that in mind, I'd like you to turn to Psalm 100, please. A few years ago, a Peanuts cartoon pictured Charlie Brown bringing Snoopy's dinner out to him on Thanksgiving Day. But it was just his normal dish with just his normal dog food in it. And Snoopy looked up and said, "This isn't fair, just because I'm a dog. Everybody else is eating turkey dinner. How about me?" And then he paused for a moment and he said, "I guess it could be worse. I could be the turkey." Now, there wasn't a lot of joy in Snoopy's Thanksgiving. His thankfulness was all based on comparison. It was based on the fact that he was better off than the turkey. And therein lies a small lesson for us. When you get down in the dumps and you're full of complaints because life isn't fair, we ought to recognize that there are those who are worse off than we are. We ought to stop complaining. But when it comes to our thankfulness, the basis should never be I'm better off than somebody else. I'm not her or I'm not him. I'm thankful I don't have to live like that. Thankfulness is so much more than a comparison of our own situation of compared to somebody else's. Thankfulness is so much more than having enough food to eat or a nice warm home to live in or good health or financial security, because each of those are circumstances that can change in a heartbeat. Thankfulness is a state of being. Thankfulness is a way of life. We usually fail to live in a state of thankfulness because we take things for granted. We're like the world traveler who's been everywhere and seen everything and takes everything for granted. He takes for granted the blessings of the beauty of everything he's seen. So whatever he sees is just, meh. I think it was Emerson who said that if the stars only came out once a year, we'd all go outside to watch them. There's a lot of truth in that. We take things for granted. We take the blessings of God for granted. I'd like for us this morning to read through the 100th Psalm together. So why don't we stand and read it together? And I put it on the screen so we can all be on the same version. Otherwise, we end up too many other versions, all right? All right, let's start. "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." You can be seated. When you come to Thanksgiving, we need to remember that if we made a list, we'd find we have an awful lot to be thankful for than just material blessings. Like you, I'm sure I'd list would include things like life and health and family and friends and the nation we live in and all the flaws that it has, it's still the best place there is to live. But even more than that, I'm thankful for my salvation. I'm thankful for my church family. I'm thankful for the mercy of God. With Jesus, we have so much to celebrate Thanksgiving for. But has it ever occurred to you that no Americans were more underprivileged than that small band of Mayflower pilgrims who started the custom of setting aside that day? They set aside a day to be thankful. They had no homes. They had no government agencies that were going to help them build homes. They had no means of transportation except their feet. Their only food came from the sea, the forest, and they had to go and get it themselves. There was no store they could go to buy it from. They had no money and no place to spend it if they had any. They had no amusements except that which they made for themselves. No means of communication with any of their relatives in England or in other parts of the world that they had come from. No Social Security, no Medicare. But anyone who would have dared to call them underprivileged would probably have ended up in the stocks. They had four of the greatest human assets. And here they are. Number one, they had initiative. They woke up in the morning with a desire to go to work. They woke up in the morning with the idea they had something to do. Number two, they had courage. They weren't beat down. They weren't afraid. Number three, they had a willingness to work. And number four, they had a boundless faith in God. The people who came and established this, and I guess that I'm kind of on this hobby horse about being thankful this year, because I just, Charlotte just read me an article on Facebook or on the internet somewhere, where there is a movement of people now who want to change Thanksgiving. They want to make it a time of mourning and sadness for the indigenous people who were pushed aside because of the evil white people who've come into America. Now, the whole point of Thanksgiving has nothing to do with anything other than being thankful to God who provides all things. And we're in a country today in which God is being systematically rooted out. And if we don't exercise initiative, courage, look at that list and look at what our culture has become. Is there any of it that's on there? We have unemployment at a rate that is staggering. I mean, not unemployment isn't the right word, but people not wanting to work. People, jobs that are out there at a staggering rate. Courage, people are all afraid. They're afraid of everything, afraid of their own shadow. Initiative, nobody wants to work. And they have no faith in God. Everything on that list, everything that made America what it is today, is gone. Our nation pauses again this week for Thanksgiving, at least one more time. One would assume that because of the example of our forefathers and because we today have so much, we would be an extremely thankful people, but we just aren't. We take things for granted. The more we get, the less thankful we are. I think the 100th Psalm was written to address an attitude, to remind us of our need to be thankful, to maintain an attitude of gratitude. The 100th Psalm was written to the people of Israel in at a particular time in history. It was written, to remind them, when you come into the promised land and settle down in your warm homes and you don't have plenty to eat, or you have plenty to eat, don't forget me. Remember me. Be thankful for what you have. But it doesn't take very long to realize the people of Israel needed a reminder, and I'm afraid we need it too. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 12, the Lord was specific. Then he comes along in the Psalms and writes this. Look who it's written to. Shout for joy to the Lord. Who? Who does that include? Does that include you and me? Yeah, see, I think sometimes we think that the Psalms are written to some generation, some time ago, somewhere else. All the earth, all generations. The message of thanksgiving is deep and wide, and it applies to every person in every era and every stage of their life. All generations. All generations. There's a real danger of determining our thanksgiving on the basis of how much we have or the events of our lives. Is my money secure? Am I healthy? Is my job secure? The psalmist says that all of these things can change at any time. Just ask the people who've been affected by the hurricanes back east this fall, or the drought this year. Everything we have can be gone in a heartbeat. I've always been a really healthy guy. Never had any health problems really at all until this year. And this year has been not a positive year for me. See, you can't depend on anything. You can't depend on your health. If your thankfulness is based on your health, then you're not going to be a very thankful guy when you get old or a very thankful woman. The 100th Psalm emphasizes that the name of the Lord is the only hope we have. The only thing we have for sure is our relationship with the Lord. The 100th Psalm says in verse 1, you'll find the name of the Lord. In verse 2, you'll find the name of the Lord. In verse 3, you'll find the name of the Lord. In verse 4, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. And in verse 5, it says, you'll find the name of the Lord. The basis for our thanksgiving is the Lord. I'm told that Alex Haley, the author of Roots, had an unusual picture in his study. And when you went in to see Alex, it was very prominently displayed. And the picture was that of a turtle on top of a fence post. And it was large enough and it was displayed prominently enough so virtually everyone who walked into the room would say, "What the heck is that for?" And Haley said, "That picture is there to remind me that when I think I've written something significant or I've made a socially important article, I look at that and realize that just like that turtle, somebody else had to put me there. No turtle climbs a post on his own. And you don't get where you are on your own. So thanksgiving is important. That's the basis of thanksgiving, to remember that we got here with the help of God. He placed us here, and that he's the provider of every blessing that we have. I wish I could emphasize strongly enough that you are where you are in your life by God's design. I wish I could emphasize strongly enough that where you are is crucial in the plan of God. That your life is not a happenstance. It didn't just happen. We have a divine God who has a divine plan, and that divine plan has a particular place for you. When you understand that, I think you can begin to be thankful. Five Thanksgiving Psalms. I'm sorry, I got behind here again. First command is to shout for joy to the Lord in all the earth. You know what that really says? It says, shout with a trumpet blast. The idea is it's supposed to come from the very pit of your being and all the way up, and then it's supposed to just radiate out. Shout for joy unto the Lord. How often do you do that? Maybe God solved your problems. Maybe he's given you a direction to go. Maybe you realize that God is the most important thing in your life. See, that's really what the service Wednesday night is for, is for you to come and share what that means to you. I hope that we'll have people come and shout with joy for who the Lord is on Wednesday night, just to demonstrate what he means to you. That's what we want to have happen. Roland Allen tells about a veteran missionary who came to him one day after he had delivered his sermon, and the missionary was introduced to himself, and he said, I'm a medical missionary, and I serve in a region where there is progressive blindness. The people are born with good vision, but somewhere in the process of this of their lives, all of them go blind. The missionary did lots of research. They found a mechanism, they found a medicine, a treatment that they could do that would arrest the progress of that progressive blindness. And those who were going to always be blind would now be able to see the rest of their lives. And the missionary said they had that particular tribe had no word for thank you in their language. The missionary said the way they said thank you was they said, I will mention your name. So everywhere they went, when they were talked about their vision, they talked about this missionary. They used his name. And I thought that was so important when you think, shout to the joy for the Lord for all the earth. Weren't we blind? And man, I was. But now I see. And I ought to, well, thanks. Let's just speak the name of the Lord. That's who healed me. I will tell your name. Wherever they went, they would tell the name of the missionary. Wherever we go, we should tell the name of him who's healed us. We get so caught up in the mechanics. The second command is, serve the Lord with gladness. It might pinch a little. Serve the Lord with gladness. Doesn't say serve the church. Doesn't say serve the preacher. It doesn't say serve the leaders. Doesn't say serve the organization. It says serve the Lord. Do you serve the Lord with gladness? I wonder how often we recognize, as I said earlier, that God has sovereignly called us out of darkness into light. And he called us with a specific plan in mind, and our everything we do in our life, not just when we're at church, not just when we're doing religious things, but every single thing we do in our lives, is our ministry. A mother cares for her children is a ministry. A father should go to work to provide for his family, a part of his ministry. A preacher should preach, a part of his ministry. A Sunday school teacher should teach, a part of their ministry. But we should do all those things with gladness. Just think about that, how that would transform our world if we did things with gladness instead of being grouchy all the time and unhappy because we have to be there and do that. The Bible teaches us if we witness on behalf of the Lord, if we feed the hungry, if we clothe the naked, if we do the work of the Lord, whatever we do, we're serving him. Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these, you've done it to me." I'm not sure we ever grasp that. I think often we serve God out of a feeling of obligation or guilt if we don't do it. Maybe even we serve the Lord because we want to draw attention to ourselves. It's natural for us to desire appreciation when we do something and that's worthwhile, but the psalmist says, whatever you do, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Number three, come before him with joyful songs. The first three commands, God says, I want you to be happy. I want you to shout with joy. I want you to serve with gladness. And I want you to come with joyful songs. One of the downsides, I'm going deaf and blind, so I've got hearing aids and I have my glasses and they're getting worse and worse. But you know, I discovered something. I have an app on my phone now for Rejoice Radio. I don't know if you know what Rejoice Radio is. It's out of Pensacola, Florida. They do an awful lot of my kind of music. With my hearing aids, what a terrible thing to have hearing aids. I can put praise music on all the time, and nobody else can hear it but me. Joyful songs. I was listening to it this morning. Charlotte was in getting ready, and I was spending some time in my Bible, and I turned on praise music, and I could do it with joyful songs. Do you come before the Lord with a joyful heart? Shout for joy. Serve with gladness. Come with joyful song. What do you find in your heart? Command number four. Know that he is, the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Would to God that we could get that message into the hearts of people. He is God. He has made us. He took every bone, every joint. He welded them together. He put some sinew on it and some muscle on it, and he put some skin on it. He gave us eyes to see and a brain to think, fingers that can pick things up, and God made us inside and out. God made you exactly as you are. I had lots of trouble with that. I wanted to be 6'4", and I wanted to weigh about 250, and I wanted to be a linebacker or something. I wanted to have some kind of... But God didn't make me that way. And I spent a lot of time being very unhappy because God made me the way he made me. You know what this tells us? God assumes ownership of us. Isn't that pretty cool? God says, you know, the wreck that you are, I still assume ownership of you. You are mine. I don't really understand why God makes us the way he makes us. I'm glad he does. God's your maker, and he created you in his image, and therefore we ought to be thankful for it. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Sheep aren't the smartest animals in the world. Most of us want to be shepherds. The problem is we don't know where the green grass is and where the still water is. And so we spend a lot of time getting ourselves into trouble. I love the imagery of Jesus carrying the little lamb. Partly I like that because I understand something about shepherds in that time. When the little lamb would wander off repeatedly, the shepherd did something that seemed to be very cruel. He'd break the lamb's leg. He'd break the lamb's leg. And then he carried it because the lamb wanted to stay. The lamb couldn't walk on his own, so he had to be carried. And that's really what I like about that picture. Not that Jesus is caring for us, but that he cares for us in spite of who we are. That our rebellion and our impulsiveness or our sinfulness, we inevitably end up in the far country. He comes out, breaks our leg, and says, "Now, walk with me." And that's a part of his ownership. It's a part of his grace. You know, he says to us all the time, "You be the sheep, let me be the shepherd. I'll find the places that you should go. I'll find the green grass. I'll find the fresh water. But let me be the shepherd." Number 5, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. I think this is, I went through the Bible here and I found his love endures forever. It's one of the constants of the book of Psalms. It's obvious. It's one of the concepts that God was always before the mind of David as he wrote these Psalms. I think it gathers some idea of why David is called a man after God's own heart. In Psalm 106 first, "Praise the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever." Psalm 107 says, "I give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever." 118, "O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endures forever." Verse 29, "O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever." 136 says, "O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." In verse 2, it says, "Go give thanks to the Lord, the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever." Psalm 136:3 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever." And in verse 26, "Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever." You see, all of these passages, I put them all there so you can see them. I rattle them off so fast you couldn't. But all these passages, it's a realization that the love or the mercy of God endures forever. It's a constant. It never changes. The natural response to that is to be thankful. In the Old Testament, the temple symbolized the presence of God. So whenever the people came to the temple and entered the courtyards, they knew they came into the presence of God. The whole framework of this idea, no temple exists today. But the scriptures tell us that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives in us. We ought to pray, Lord, help us to be thankful for you, that you don't treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our sins. I hope maybe you can take this 100th Psalm and maybe you ought to read it again. Maybe at Thanksgiving dinner or before Thanksgiving dinner, you should read the 100th Psalm. Remind you of why you're thankful. I pray this will be a meaningful Thanksgiving. In the midst of all that's wrong in our world, let's not focus on the world. Let's focus on Him. Let's make our Thanksgiving a part of our worship to God. First Wednesday night, we'd like to have you come and share that. What you are thankful for. And I hope that you'll be thankful and express it. All right, let's pray. We're going to have prayer now.
Now we're on. You probably noticed in your bulletins that we have no prayer list again today. That's because our secretary Annette is still out sick with a sick family, so she's not with us today. We have a lot of people that are out sick this morning. Either they have COVID, or they've been exposed to COVID, or they've got this other crud that's going around. So we've got a lot of people that aren't with us this morning for that reason. I heard on the radio a couple days ago that Minnesota is number one in the nation for COVID illness right now. So at least we're number one in something. It's too bad. It's too bad it couldn't be something that was a little more prominent. But this morning for our prayer time, by the way, you'll get those prayer requests through an email this coming week in a day or two. This morning for our prayer time, we're remembering, continuing to remember Jim Richter, who has cancer and who is undergoing cancer treatments, as well as the rest of the Richter family, who I'm looking over here. They normally sit over here. They've had a lot of sickness in their family, so they are not with us this morning. We're also thankful that Doug made it through his shoulder surgery. Doug's been given a very long time to live, by the way. Doug made it through his shoulder surgery just fine and is continuing to recover at home. So we had a small group in prayer meeting this morning, so we didn't have a lot of requests. We have the other normal requests that we are constantly thinking about and praying for. Are there other requests this morning? I'll just ask if there's anything anybody wants to remember. Sarah. Van, Joanne. Okay. Okay. I would imagine it would be, yeah. Okay, we'll be praying for them. If you didn't hear that, Bay and Joanne are temporarily in assisted living while Bay is going through some health issues. So please pray for Bay and Joanne this morning and this coming week. Jack. Okay. Okay. Bev Sowers with an eye issue. So thank you for sharing that. Pray for Louie, okay? We can do that. You do? Very good. Thanks for sharing that. It's interesting times we're living in. Your name is Chris, right? Chris, okay. And Joel, right next to Chris, how are you feeling? We prayed for you for a while for issues you were dealing with. Good. Good to hear. Anything else this morning we're thinking about? All right, let's pray together. Lord, we're so thankful that we can gather this morning in a free country and come and worship you freely and openly this morning. We thank you for the request that we just heard. We thank you for Chris's openness and sharing what he's been through at work. Lord, we thank you that he can stand free and hold true to his convictions. We pray for Bea and Joanne this morning for the changes that they're going through with being in assisted living. Lord, we just pray that you would help them to adjust to that. And Lord, we just pray for your healing hand and your hand upon that whole situation for what they're dealing with and going through. We pray for Louis this morning for health issues that he's having and experiencing. Lord, we pray that you would be with our brother Louis today. We pray for Bev Sowers for her eye condition. And Lord, we just pray for healing for her. We pray that she would be able to be back home. And we pray for Jack as he travels to see her. Lord, just keep him safe on the road. We pray for those in our church family this morning dealing with illness, which are many. Some are COVID. Some are other illness related. Some are quarantining because they've been exposed to COVID. Lord, we just pray for your healing hand upon these people today. Some families have been dealing with this for a very long time. And Lord, we just pray that you would just be with them as only you can and bring healing to their homes. We continue to pray for Jim Richter today as he battles cancer. This is a very hard situation, not just for Jim, but for the family around him. And so, Lord, we just pray for your grace and for your healing. We pray for Jim as he goes through these treatments. Lord, we just pray that you would bring relief from pain and different issues that cancer treatments always bring. So we pray for the Richter family today. We're thankful today for Doug's successful surgery. Lord, as he heals at home, we just pray that you would continue to be with him, continue to bring strength and healing from that surgery that he had. We pray for our church ministries that we have here. We pray for Summit Kids, for Youth Group, for Men's Group, for the Women's Bible Study, other ministries that we have today. Lord, we just pray for your guidance and direction in all these things, especially in this time and that we're going through in our country where attendance can be down. Sickness affects things like this so much. So, Lord, we just pray for your working in your hand in all these ministries. We pray for our nation and our leaders today, Lord, as we continue to battle a divided country, a country and a nation in which is at a war within itself. So we pray for our leaders today, from our president on down through our Congress and our state leaders. Lord, we pray against all odds that our nation's leaders would turn to you for understanding. Lord, might this be a time when they realize that against all odds that they need you. We need you in our country. So we pray and lift up our leaders to you today. And Lord, in our time of year we're at right now in this Thanksgiving season, we pray that we would be more thankful than we are not thankful. It's easy to look at our lives and situations and think about the bad things that are going on, the negative things. But Lord, help us to remember all that we have and all that we've been given. We live in the richest country in the world. Help us to remember that. Help us to remember our fellow man that's around us that doesn't have what we do at this time of year. Help us to reach out to the lost, the people that are in need this time of year, whether it's clothing, food, shelter. Lord, help us to remember those around us who are less fortunate this coming week. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for the blood of our Savior that saves and cleanses us from our sins. Be with us as we leave this place this morning. Help us to be lights to a lost and dying world. We pray these things in Jesus' name.